I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mental Health Monday is an informational podcast and should not be used to replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a healthcare or mental health care professional. Mental Health Monday can't be held responsible for the use of the information provided. Please always consult a trained mental health professional before making any decision regarding treatment of yourself or others. Self-help information and podcasts and information on the internet is useful, but it's not always a substitute for professional assistance. Unless otherwise noted, guests of Mental Health Monday are not doctors or licensed in any way. Our hope is to make a connection with you and be more open and honest about everyone's mental health. Enjoy the podcast.
Mental Health Monday.
Hey, it's Riggs, and welcome to another Mental Health Monday. It's a podcast where we talk openly and honestly about mental health, specifically at men. But as I said before, pretty much anybody can get something out of Mental Health Monday. Today, we're talking to a serious doctor. Normally, we're just dudes. Today, I'm a dude, and I'm talking to a doctor. We're talking depression. Anything and everything you've ever wanted to know about depression, but may have been afraid to ask, I'm going to ask today. And honestly, I spent 15, 20 minutes with Dr. Halverson, and I learned so much, so I promise you're going to learn something out of this podcast. So hang out for it. We'll talk mood disorders, including postpartum depression, how women deal with it, and how men are also being affected with postpartum depression. It's a thing. This week, our guest is Chief Medical Officer of Rogers Behavioral Health, Dr. Jerry Halverson. He's a board-certified adult psychiatrist, a laundry list of experience with mood disorders, and he specializes in depression. What is depression? Who does it affect? How do you combat depression? We'll discuss it all right now with Dr. Jerry Halverson from Rogers Behavioral Health. Now, you pretty much oversee everything, right?
Yeah, I oversee everything, kind of, but my clinical specialty is depression.
Okay.
I've run the mood disorder program here for several years.
Okay, so depression defined is essentially what now?
So depression is, I can start with what it isn't. Depression isn't just feeling down a little bit. Depression is not being upset because things aren't going your way at work or maybe your, you know, the Badgers or your Packers or your
somebody
sports team lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not depression. Depression is an overwhelming feeling of sadness and distress that affects your ability to be who you are, whether it's at home or at work. And it isn't something that is there for a day or two. Usually, if depression is an issue, it lasts at least 6 months and sometimes much longer than that.
So when sadness becomes something that's persistent and overwhelming, that's when you know this is probably depression?
Yeah, I think the overwhelming piece is important. For the depression really to be something that we would want to actively look at treating, it would have to affect part of your functioning.
Not going to work.
Yep. And not being able to, you know, oftentimes isolating is a big part of it. Not engaging in your group of friends, not engaging in your family, finding yourself alone more, which unfortunately leads to alone with drinking more, which can be a separate problem.
Do men and women deal with depression differently?
Oftentimes they do. Historically, women have been much more likely to seek treatment. They've been much more likely to kind of notice that there's an issue and to seek treatment, whereas men tend to not seek treatment as readily or as easily.
Kind of hide it to themselves is what men tend to do.
Yeah, and I think that's led to this overall misunderstanding that maybe it's more prevalent in women than men, and that is what our statistics tell us, but we do know that men are just much less likely to seek treatment. So endorsing or saying that you have depression is much more difficult, it seems, for men than for women.
Do you think men speaking out can help other men as well?
Absolutely. I think it's important to understand that depression is common. It's certainly common in men, and really the only way that you're going to be able to get better or get past it is to treat it. Now, oftentimes, depression, if you sit with it long enough, it goes away on its own, but that can last. It can last up to 6 months or years in some cases. And when depression is a significant issue for you and you're not fulfilling what you need to at work, you're not fulfilling what you need to at home, mm-hmm. it can have a significant cost as sure. far as losing jobs, losing relationships, particularly when all of that is in the context of depression being a very, very curable, treatable disorder. So sure, you can deal with it and hope it goes away on its own, but you're really risking a lot
making
as far
it worse.
As losses. It could get worse. Depression is a fatal illness. People with depression are more likely to try and to complete suicide in our state of Wisconsin. Men, primarily, men have their lion's share of suicides.
Yeah, I think men bear the brunt of a lot of it, working age men, what it seems like.
Yes, yes. And they're also more likely to have fatal suicide attempts. Women are more likely to overdose, mm-hmm. and men are more likely to use guns.
The handgun statistic as well. I work a lot with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they don't take a stance on the Second Amendment. They don't want to get into the politics of it, but they do focus on the education of, if you're going to have a firearm, be smart about it. Know about your mental health when you're getting a firearm. Are you in the right place to have a firearm? That type of thing. I've always thought that was it's a decent way to yeah. approach the topic.
But not only you, but other people in the house.
Yeah.
If you don't have it locked up and you're not the only one that has access to it,
right.
that's a pretty common way for teenage males to kill themselves.
Sure.
As well as, you said, middle-aged males.
Yeah.
Whether it's against the Second Amendment or not, the facts are most people that kill themselves in Wisconsin do it by gun.
Mm-hmm. Most deaths are by the yep. gun deaths are suicides.
Yep.
A lot of them are. I've kept coming across in my research of depression something called persistent depressive disorder. What exactly is that, and how does that differ from like clinical depression? Is there a difference?
Yes. Yeah. So persistent depressive disorder used to be called dysthymia, and so dysthymia might be a term that that people in your audience may have heard of and may have been diagnosed with in the past. It's basically that your mood kind of never gets back to a normal state, or your normal state is lower than other people's, but it's not low enough to be diagnosed a significant mood disorder.
Right.
So folks that have persistent depressive disorder, it's not necessarily that you're always depressed, but your baseline is generally a little bit lower as far as your mood. So you operate feeling less well most of the time.
Right.
But it's not significant enough to affect your work. You're still generally getting to work. You're probably not working as well or as effectively.
Right, as optimal. You're not performing as optimally.
Yeah,
as well.
You're able to. You're at home. You're kind of checking those boxes, but you're not doing what you generally need to do. So those are cases in the past that we might not have been that aggressive in treating, but now we know that even a little bit of depression can not only cause these troubles at home and at work,
sure.
And then once you lose a relationship or lose a job, that's a significant issue. But we also have data that tells us depression, even, you know, quote unquote, minor depression, which is oftentimes what this would be, is a negative prognostic factor for cardiac disease. It can cause people to be more likely to die.
Let's talk about postpartum depression, which is primarily with women, but also men can suffer from this as well, is what I've been reading. And there's not a lot of discussion about men dealing with postpartum depression. So how does it affect women and then men both? First, I guess you can start with women.
Yeah. So at this point, it's still not necessarily common, but it does certainly happen in women, approximately 5%.
And what does it basically mean, postpartum depression? It would be after birth, clearly.
Yep.
So what services in a woman's mind that creates this?
Well, there are hormone shifts in general,
right.
but also what can cause depression is not only neurotransmitter changes and hormone changes, but also changes in expectations and changes in your life or your career. Even good changes can be the harbinger of depression, or can, you know, bring depression. So
we talked about this with Dr. Riemann. There's good stress, there's bad stress. It's good to have some stress in your life.
Also good stress can lead more likely to depression. If you've been looking forward to this baby and you have the baby, and having had a couple of children, it can be very challenging up front. And I don't know if anybody's ever really prepared for it, but there are some people that are less prepared than others. And that can certainly cause depression. It can, this feeling of overwhelm, this feeling of helplessness. And why it's particularly important to diagnose it in mothers or new fathers in particular. But we've been focusing on mothers because obviously both of them are helping out this little helpless baby.
This new child that came into the world,
That, you know, if you're not there and doing your job, there's a big problem for that baby. The baby's not going to be out, you know, going to the store and
getting things. Now, how does it affect men, though? Could a man have postpartum depression?
This is absolutely more and more of a something that we're learning about more and more every day. I'll be honest with you, we've been really focused on the mother, because when things go poorly with mothers, you know, we've all seen these kind of terrible outcomes where the depression leads to a psychosis, leads to the mother killing the children. That's very, very rare, but obviously a kind of a catastrophic end. So there's really been focus on that, but more and more lately, and there's actually a very recent article in the pediatrics literature that tells us that men can get depression postpartum just as much as women can. And honestly, it's not something that we've really looked at. So part of this is that we don't have men coming forward with depression or depression symptoms. But another part of it is that we don't really tend to look for it in men like we look for it in women. But as you can imagine, for the folks that have had children, it's very stressful. Whether you're a mom or a dad,
I'm sure
you can be engaged in direct care. But even if you're not engaged in the direct care, then maybe you're working more to make up for mom, who at least up front is on a leave, and maybe you are able to take a leave with your work. You should be able to take a leave with your work, but oftentimes the paternity leave isn't necessarily as long as the maternity leave. There's a lot of pressure kind of going back to the work and kind of feeling all of that pressure.
How could a man, let's say we have a new father listening that has a wife that he thinks may be dealing with postpartum depression. I've heard sometimes a man can approach his wife about that and she gets defensive. Is there a tactful way that a man could approach his wife about that and kind of troubleshoot it?
It's an important conversation to have, and it could go both ways, because obviously both of your sleep is pretty terrible at the beginning, and it could go either way. But it's important to have those conversations. And maybe your wife would get defensive, but ultimately, by talking about these conversations makes it easier to have the conversations.
Sure. So, recognizing there's a problem, moving forward with it. Let's talk to somebody about this.
Yeah, you know, the concern with approaching the mother might be that, boy, are you saying that I'm being a bad mom? I mean, there are kind of better ways to have that conversation than others. But clearly, if mom knows, or if it's dad that mom is having the conversation with, if they know it's kind of coming from a place of where they're concerned in care, it's always going to go better.
Yeah. Is that kind of a way to approach anybody you think might be depressed?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's
just 100% having a conversation. I always feel it's best to assume that no one has talked to them. Because when you see someone that you think might be depressed, you think they probably have a friend or a family member. I'm sure their wife or their girlfriend knows about it. They've noticed it, certainly. Yeah. I'm sure that somebody's talked to them. It's better to assume that nobody said anything.
Yeah,
these
conversations are difficult to have.
Yeah.
And you can't assume that they've been had. I agree.
What are the treatments for depression? When somebody knows I've got depression, is it just medication? Are there other ways? Are there other treatments? You said it could go away on its own.
Yeah, we have a lot of good treatments for depression. Yeah. That's really the good news of this is, you know, we want you to identify it and go in for treatment. Treatment doesn't always have to be medicines. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I can talk about medicines, and we have medicines that are helpful, but medicines have side effects. So we generally bring out medicines when it's pretty severe or other treatments aren't working as well. some of the treatment for some of the treatments for depression really are just trying to get back into your regular life. If you find that you're isolating, and the isolating is leading to other things like drinking, you know, just kind of getting back to your life can be helpful. Exercise, getting out and exercising. There's great literature that tells us that exercise is a treatment for depression. And that actually is helpful and won't have side effects other than if you have to get up really early in the morning or have to do it really late.
Creates the endorphins. Endorphins make people happy.
Exactly. They can. They can. And there's also, there's different types of psychotherapy. The first piece is reaching out to maybe a pastor or a family doc and just having some conversations. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go on medications. Then you can see a therapist, which is talk therapy. Certain types of talk therapy are very effective in depression. And we know that they work in depression, and engaging on a once a week basis or more with a therapist can be very helpful. Then ultimately, if that doesn't work, medications can help.
Sure.
Oftentimes, folks do not want to take the time to do the other stuff, so they jump to medicines. And depending on the severity, you might get a different medication recommendation or a different dose of the medication.
Sure. Are there a lot of misdiagnosis with depression? Do you see that a lot? People thinking, I'm probably depressed. I've got to be depressed. I have depression. Then saying, you know what? I don't. You may not have depression.
Yeah, I think most of the time, by the time people come in, it's not necessarily an easy conversation to have, particularly with men.
Yeah.
There's probably something going on.
Right.
Whether it's depression or bipolar disorder or some sort of other mood disorders, or depending, you know, could be caused by drinking or something else that's going on. I usually don't have a lot of people showing up that need
you send
no
them
help.
Off and say, hey, you're fine, go away.
Generally not.
Err on the side of caution. If your knee hurts, you would go see your doctor, your physician. Hey, my knee's been bothering me. I think you should do the same thing about your brain. My brain's been hurting. I'm a little sad lately. Is this all right? Is this normal? Is this a normal amount of sadness?
Absolutely. And I wish we were at a point where more people were, you know, we had time in our lives to be more inward thinking about how we're thinking, feeling, and doing in that space at that time. We just tend not to. So I think if you are thinking about it and you think it might be an issue, it probably is an issue.
This wasn't on our list, but do you think social media feeds into depression a lot, especially these days?
I think social media, and we have a lot of data, particularly in kids, that more screen time is more likely to lead to mental illness. And part of the screen time, it might seem like you're engaging with people, but you're not really engaging with people.
No.
And folks that get sucked into that too much tend to not be able to, you know, it affects their work, it affects their ability to function at home, which can all cause and worsen feelings of kind of estrangement and can lead to isolation and depression.
Well, you're looking at somebody's highlight reel on their Facebook feed.
Well, that too.
Nobody's putting their sad moments, really. They're
no,
putting all the happy moments. You're putting your vacation pictures, your kids laughing. You're not putting the time when you were sad and crying in the corner for an hour about something that happened.
Yep, that's true. No one would probably want to look at that.
No, so I'm not going to like that either. I'm just going to put the sad face next to it.
Yeah.
Dr. Halvorsen, thanks for talking depression today. I appreciate it. If you are a man and you do feel like you may have depression, it's okay to ask for help. Just reach out to somebody and make sure that you're okay. I mean, there's screenings you can take online. There's a lot of those that can troubleshoot. I know Man Therapy, the website, has a great website where you can go through a 20-point head inspection and just make sure your head's right, because it's another part of your body. It's bound to malfunction every once in a while, your brain. So.
And again, if you don't take care of it, things generally will not get better on their own anytime soon, and you risk things getting worse.
You don't change the oil on your car, it's going to break down.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dr. Halvorsen, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate
You're
it
welcome.
Very much.
Thank you.
It's true. There's lots of ways to get help out there. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. That's available 24 hours a day. The Crisis Prevention Chat Line, you can text HELLO to 741-741. You can always find a friend or just call your doctor. Once you start talking about it, I promise you're going to start feeling better. Getting it out helps. Getting it out in the open is awesome. Next week, we're going to talk to a gentleman who has struggled with depression his entire life. He's almost 70 years old. How he's struggled with it, almost succumbed to it, and has learned to manage it in an awesome way. But he's got a great story. His name is Jim Hill. We'll talk to him next week for another episode of Mental Health Monday. You can always reach out if you'd like to share your story. I'd love to talk to you. RigsRadio.me is the website. Talk to you next time at another Mental Health Monday or mornings on 103.7 KISS FM in Milwaukee with the Riggs and Allen Morning Show. Have a great week or afternoon or morning or whatever you're doing. And remember, make good life decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.